You're listening to We the Aether Podcast with host Adam Evans, within and without. Welcome.
What's going on, everyone? Hope you're having a wonderful day. I'm going to do this podcast in a different format because I'm in the process of warming up for a training session today. And I'm going to give you a brief little lead up to why I'm doing this in a moment here. But so I'm training today because I didn't complete my training session yesterday. So I felt a little bit beat up, and you know, as a result, I just decided to call it and not complete the session. And what I had done was just do some recovery therapy afterwards in terms of like hot and cold packs, which I would apply to certain areas that felt a little bit, I use the term beat up. It essentially means you're feeling tight, knotted, you know, whatever it may be, a little bit tense, let's say, in certain areas of the body. I've mentioned in the past the word nadis, which is a Sanskrit term for just blockages in the body. And I think that ties in with your just, I mean, it's all talking about physiology, your overall physiology. So at the end of the day, of course, I mean, if you're knotted up, it's going to translate over to your, you know, not just your lifting abilities, not just your physical feats and your athletics, but it's going to transfer over to your mood, your emotions. And a lot of people don't consider this, but it's all intertwined, interconnected in terms of, you know, nadis in Sanskrit, meaning blockages in the body, which then many people correlate to the chakral system. But if you just want to simply look at it as, if you're feeling knotted up, you know, do some yoga, stretch it out, because you're generally just going to not just perform better. From an athletic stance, yes, you'll perform better, but, you know, you're just going to feel, energetically, you're going to feel, you know, much more vibrant, vigorant, you know, so... Setting all that aside, that's the sort of introduction. Now, what I'm going to do in this podcast episode is a mantra. I'm going to share a mantra with you, which we're going to do it for just a few minutes, because I was already in the process of doing this as I'm warming up for today's training, because I believe the warming up process is, it's beyond just stretching and foam rolling and, you know, working with lacrosse balls and this and that. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm working with some lacrosse balls and whatnot. But the process is a full opening of your entire energetics, your bioenergetics, your full physical system as well is at play here. So I like to do breath work, and I also like to do some mantra, or I'll just work my way through, it's just part of the breath work. I'll work my way through some vowels, and I'll, you know, it's, I even consider opening up my jaw, like I'm opening up my jaw, I'm opening up my capacity to inhalate, to take in the breath, you know, because in a deadlift, it's so important to take in the full breath. I mean, it's a difference of, in my case, it's a difference of, you know, making a lift, well, in anyone's case, making a lift easily, or making it very, you know, difficult and grinding it out if you don't have this full breath, because you're, you know, you're only working at 70% capacity. You're not going to be able to do the same weight that you would at 100% capacity at a full 100% inhalated breath. So as part of my warm-up here, I'm sitting in a cross-legged position, and I'm doing some mantra, some breath work, and I'm smashing myself out with lacrosse balls. Haven't quite hit foam rollers yet. I don't think I'm going to bother with that. I'm just going to stick with the stretching and the lacrosse balls today. Very resourceful tool, the lacrosse ball. Just make note if you're ever interested. So the one mantra I've... It's not like I decided to do this in any way. I just started doing this particular one. And that's how I feel that mantra should be. In my case, I like to have a full range, a full spectrum of mantra in different languages. I primarily lean towards Sanskrit because, I don't know, for whatever reason, it seems a lot of my research so far and my studies have been in that direction, but you know, I've delved deeper into other languages as well. But Sanskrit, I there's one that I particularly like, and it's called the I was actually just looking up the name of it, but it's the Anusara invocation. So it's an invocation chant, mantra, prayer, and it's spelled A-N-U-S-A-R-A, Anusara. So it's interesting. I don't quite recall where I first heard this, where I was like, I was probably listening to an audiobook or a podcast or something, or, you know, reading some sort of article online. I don't know what I would have been doing, but I came across this mantra and it stuck with me, and I've you know, been reciting it for, well over a year now, and I find it to be quite powerful. And many invocations are. They're invoking power. They're invoking, you know, sort of this presence, this beingness within you, your awareness. It's raising your vibration, raising your energy, if you don't want to use the word vibration. I don't feel I need to preface any of these podcasts by saying that don't hold any attachment to any one particular word in which I use to describe something, because I can use a multitude, a full variety, a full spectrum. I've just done so right there. I can just pluck it from the sky and use it, you know, if one triggers you less than another, if you're listening to this. But I certainly hope that none would trigger you, because I've used the analogy of a buffet before, where just treat it all like a buffet of different, if you go to a buffet, you may try different things, but you may only like one particular thing, one particular way in this example, the one particular way in which I'm presenting something. You may like this one particular, and then that allows you to go deeper on that. So all I'm here to do is give you the buffet. Let's put it that way. I'm the buffet of words and information in a sense, and then you can just pick and choose what you want and set aside what you don't. Just don't go there. Anyways. So the Anusara invocation. So I'm going to give you a few different translations for this in English, because a Sanskrit, it can be interpreted in different ways, and you know, it generally is, it's a matter of replacing certain words for other similes, so similar words or terms, but they generally convey the same meanings. But still, I'm going to give you two, perhaps three translations. So I'm going to start with the mantra, which I will just recite once initially, and then I will give you the translations in English. And then afterwards, I will get into reciting the mantra several times, as I was doing prior to even starting this podcast. And if you decide to join along while I do this, I welcome you to do so. Otherwise, just chill out, hang back, relax, and listen along. And let's kick things off. Om Namah Shivaya Gurave Sachitananda Muritaye Nisprapanjaya Shantaya Niralambaya Tejase. Om Namah Shivaya Gurave Sachitananda Muritaye Nisprapanjaya Shantaya Niralambaya Tejase. So that is the mantra in Sanskrit, and I'm going to give you one English translation right now. And it goes like this. I bow to the divine consciousness, the true leader within. I am pure awareness, and at one with the source of all things, forever expanding and fully peaceful. Depending on nothing else, I am radiant and powerful. So that is the first English translation. And I will now give you one more English translation, which is of a different variety, I guess you could say. And it goes like this. I open my heart to the power of grace that lives in us as goodness, that never is absent and radiates peace and lights the way to transformation. That's a general overview of it. And now let me give you the exact translation, phrase by phrase. Om Namah Shivaya Gurave. I offer myself to the light, the auspicious Lord, who is the true teacher within and without. Satchitananda Mooritaye, who assumes the forms of reality, consciousness, and bliss. Nisprapanjaya Shantaya, who is never absent and is full of peace. Niralambaya Tejase, independent in his existence, he is the vital essence of illumination. And now I'm going to give you one more translation into English, just because there is many varieties of it. I'm not going to go phrase by phrase, I'm just going to give you the full translation. I bow to the presence of God within, our true and highest teacher, that lives in and around us as being, consciousness, and bliss. It is ever present and radiates peace, lighting the way to transformation. So it's a really wonderful invocation that, as I said, I've been doing for, over a year, most likely. And interestingly enough, it came to me as a little tidbit of information. I'm pretty sure I've done a podcast where I discussed how my Doberman, one of my last Doberman, I know his name was Dota, he passed away. From when I'm recording this, he passed away earlier this year in 2017. But when he passed away, I actually felt compelled at that time to do mantra. So at the moment he had passed in my arms, at the moment he had passed, I was, I didn't feel sad at all. I think I may have mentioned this in another podcast. I didn't feel sad in that moment. I felt grateful. I felt at peace. And I was in mantra. I was doing mantra. And I just kept repeating, reciting that very same mantra I just shared with you moments ago. And I believe that this it was helping me in that time, in that moment. But I believe it was also helping my boy, my pup, you know, who was passing away in my arms. It was akin to, or it reminded me of, the book, The Teachings of Don Juan by Carlos Castaneda, where he had described, or Don Juan was describing how his son had passed away before him, and he was dying in his arms. And at that time, Don Juan did not feel sorrow, he felt love, he felt gratitude, appreciation. And this helps transition the soul, the being that's leaving this plane. This helps transition that being. Because if that being is leaving this plane and they have some form of attachment, it's going to be very difficult for them. You want to help them along. You want to let them know it's all love. It's all good in the hood. You basically, and the hood being earth. You want to let them know that you're safe, you're held. in the arms of God, in the arms of love, in the arms of compassion, bliss, at a higher consciousness. You're held and you're safe. You want to let them know this, but you don't necessarily need to tell them this. You can just hold this space yourself. You can be in your own creative mind, your own conscious mind, creating this for yourself and helping bring that to them in that time. So anyways, I feel that this helps. And if you're familiar with or have ever looked into the Tibetan Book of the Dead, they actually have a period in which after the being has passed, where you have a certain ritualistic practice which helps the being transition through the next realms in which they're, you know, all sorts of things. I don't want to get into that because we're getting a little bit too far away from this podcast. But if you're ever interested in me getting out, I'll probably talk about that stuff at some point. But shoot a message or comment or something on one of the socials or the website or something like that, and I'll get it. If you want to hear more on all those things. So here I'm going to do the mantra, and then I got to get to my workout, guys and gals, because I need to get some volume today. And I feel like I need to lift some stuff. Some days I just feel like I just need to lift some stuff, you know. I'm a physical body here. I'm a big ogre-like meat, bone, flesh, walking around, schlepping around, as Stuart Wilde used to say, schlepping around. I'm just schlepping around this body, this ogre-like body, so I need to lift some stuff. That's what I'm here for, to pick things up. So here, let's finish off this mantra. I'm going to do it a few times, or several times, and then wrap up our podcast EP and get to my training. So here we go. Shivaya Gurave Satchitananda Murtaye Nisprapanjaya Shandaya Niralambaya Te Rase. Om Namah Shivaya Gurave Satchitananda Murtaye Nisprapanjaya Shantaya Niralambaya Tejase. So usually after I do that type of mantra, you know, I don't have to have it any sort of consistency to it. I like to just play around through the range of, I don't know, I guess you could say the full range of vocals that you can express. So it doesn't have to be at any certain pace, any certain beat, tone, or anything like that. You can do it straight up as I had done when I initially had given you the mantra. But when I went through it several times, I did it more of like a sing-song kind of chant, you know, more chanty. So sometimes I'll do it where it's just straight up, let's call it the lyrics, the Sanskrit lyrics. Or sometimes I'll do it more like sing-songy, and I don't have to do it aloud, but the benefit of doing it aloud is that you feel the vibration, the vibratory sort of frequencies, let's call it. I'm getting back to don't get triggered here, but you feel the vibration throughout your body. And now you can do this without making the sounds. You can feel certain vibrations in your chest, in your head. Now, one way that you can emphasize this is cover your ears. So fully cover your ears and make some sounds. So you can, I'm covering my ears right now. You can't see this, but I can go, just making a bunch of random, you know, vowel type sounds. You can just all sorts of random sounds. Cover your ears and really focus on, I don't know how to, you know, you got to really focus on your breathing with this, but you want to speak from your belly. You want to, you know, speak from your core, breathe deep in your core, and then like feel it out and speak, enunciate. You don't want to just kind of like chest breathe and then speak up top, kind of like really high, like, you know, whatever, you know, like that. You need to really feel it out and push for that vibration. Feel it as you do the, as you enunciate the mantra as you go. You can do it when you generally speak. You can actually feel a vibration as you say certain words. You can actually like feel this like slight, you know, tingle in your chest or something. But I feel like this stuff helps with your strength, with your, and you know what, breathing and all this stuff, it also helps with circulation. It also helps with your central nervous system and your capacity to recover, if you're into training, your capacity to recover from CNS, central nervous system taxing workouts. You know, and that could be like, you could, in my case, I just lift heavy weights. I do power lifting or Olympic lifting, you know, these type of things. If people run, they sprint, that could be one thing. You can do any sort of sport where you're physically pushing, you're taxing your body, your central nervous system. Now, when you do mantra, you can help yourself recover from these things by increasing the circulation, increasing the oxygen flow throughout your full circulatory system. Now, I just finished a book, well, I finished many books all the time, but I literally just finished a book from Rupert Sheldrake, which he's a scientist, I believe he's a PhD, I don't know if he's a mathematician or I'm getting mixed up with another book, but Rupert Sheldrake discusses morphogenetics, and in this book in particular, I believe the book was called, give me a second here, Science and Spirituality. And it was a follow-up to his book that he had just done called Science Set Free, which was an amazing book. Much better than this, than the Science and Spirituality one I just mentioned. But anyway, Science and Spirituality, this book, he discusses chants, mantra. He gets much more in-depth than I am here about its benefits. And he actually even gets into details about the how chant and mantra, there were some studies done where it can actually improve your body's microbiomes and your ability to fight off viruses through chant. And this study was done through church choirs and all sorts of different stuff in there. You know, anyways, check out the book, Science and Spirituality by Rupert Sheldrake. And he'll, you know, I think it was like a 10-hour, might have been an 8-hour audio book. Not too bad. So he discusses that when you're chanting or doing mantra, when you do it by yourself, there's some of the benefits I've already, you know, alluded to earlier in this podcast, but he discusses other benefits where you're hitting a morphogenetic resonance, where you're doing these chants and mantras that have been done for who knows how long. I don't even want to get into how long. Tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of maybe more years, some of these mantras have been done. So when you're doing these, you're tapping into some sort of morphic resonance where all those of the past that have recited those same words in those same tones, you're connecting to them in some way. Past, present, and future become one, where you are meeting in this frequency that you're tapping into. So that's an interesting way to look at it as well, and I really appreciate Rupert Sheldrake's work, so if you get a chance, check it out. But I'm going to wrap things up because, as I said, I need to get into my training session. I want to thank you for listening to this podcast, as always. I hope you enjoyed the content. I hope you enjoyed the format and what I've shared with you here. And if you want to hear more, let me know. Hit me up on any of the socials, as usual. You know, I'm there. And check me out on the YouTube channel. I'm there. And otherwise, I will catch you guys and gals again next time. Take care.